This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
In safeguarding the Bears' legacy, Virginia, some say, calls the shots privately. She attends every game, home and away, all while carefully watching over her father's team.
Her purpose in life is to keep her father's legacy.
All the opportunities I've had, all the privileges I've had, all the miracles I've watched, I'm just very grateful for my life.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the voice of Virginia McCaskey. And we are delighted to welcome in Mark Gannis, the president and founding partner of Sports Core. He joins us on The Score hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. And Mark, I had a conversation with a family member years and years ago, and I was told that there was a mechanism in place that would prevent the family from having to sell once Mrs. McCaskey passed on, and that obviously they've had plenty of time to kind of make their plans, etc. It's fascinating to me that we're now talking about this idea, and again, the way I was told it is that family ownership will survive this generation, and then when you get beyond this generation, it's going to be really difficult for them to hold on to the team. But where are we at with the Bears right now? And again, with all respect to the loss of Mrs. McCaskey, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, guys. It's good to be on again with you. Your family member who spoke with you did not mislead you. He is exactly right, or she, exactly right across the board. It is set up so that the team stays in the control of the McCaskey family. There are not going to be massive tax consequences, estate tax consequences, that would otherwise force them to sell. There aren't any legal situations that would force them to sell. This is their team. Virginia set it up so that it would stay their team as long as this generation wants it. And your source about that told you about the next generation being more challenging is I think that makes sense from everything that I know, and knowing how many more heirs there are in the next generation as well.
Mark, could you please explain what is often referenced to as a generation skipping trust, and how that affects the potential for the Bears to be put for sale, or the family to come to that conclusion?
Well, you may be referring to the voting trust that Virginia held. That was a one-generation voting trust that was set up by her father. And so that's part of how she had full control over the team and could convey it first to Michael and then later to her son George to act on her behalf as the control owner of the team. You'll have much smarter estate lawyers that could help you with this, but from what I am aware of, things are set up in such a manner, and she had plenty of time to do so, set up in such a manner that even though there was a single generation voting trust that her father gave her, that the current generation, that, you know, George, Patrick, that generation are full control and are not going to be put in any position where they are forced to sell. If they choose to, that's a different story. But there is no forcing of them to sell.
And there are 9 surviving McCaskey children. Michael and Tim preceded their mother. And I think that when you look at that group, there's still a lot of McCaskeys that work at Hallis Hall that are connected to the team and do stuff with the team.
Quite a few. But it's not economics that keep the family together. It's commitment to what George Hallis set up. Because economically, there is no question that the family members would be far wealthier, right, if they sold the team. It's not even close. We're talking by factors of hundreds here if they chose to do that. So it's really legacy and family commitment and commitment to family and faith that is keeping is why it is highly unlikely that the Bears will be in any other hands in this next generation.
So, Mark, you spent last week in New Orleans at the Super Bowl and you're getting ready to go to the NBA All-Star Game in San Francisco. You talked to a lot of people in the business who would be in a position to know such things. But I just wonder, even though what you just said is valid and I don't think a huge surprise to people in Chicago, are there people out there interested or have inquired or might inquire now about buying the Bears?
Short answer is yes, and quite a few. This is arguably the most valuable, or potentially the most valuable team in the NFL. Greatest market here in Chicago, great history, and a team that hasn't settled its stadium situation yet and has a lot of margin on the upside if they chose to exploit those opportunities that are there. That all having been said, from everything that I have seen personally, I have heard, the McCaskey family and this next generation led by George are absolutely committed to keeping the team within the family, and that it is, even though it is highly likely they will get approached, I would expect every offer to be rebuffed, even what I would expect to be some very significant proposals.
Is there a right of first refusal available to Pat Ryan and his family in terms of if there is a sale of the Bears, that they would get the first bite at the apple?
My understanding is there are a series of what are called ROFRs, right of first refusal, incorporated within the Bears operation. So if your question is going to, if somebody wants the Bears and the McCaskeys want to sell, would there be an opportunity for Pat Ryan and his family to step up? I believe that is the case.
Whether it's related to the passing of Mrs. McCaskey or the realities that exist in trying to find a new funding for a stadium project that they've been, you know, going underway for the last couple of years, where do things stand with private equity in terms of getting involved and selling to a private equity fund that would help them maybe have some capital on hand to put into the project?
Well, the first, recognize that private equity is capped at 10%. So if you're talking about a $2 or $3 billion stadium project, at most, you'd be looking at some number in the $600 million range. That's at most if you sold. The capital, liquidity and capital are not the operative issues here. The Bears are strong financially. They are known to be as conservative as we know the family is. In other ways, they're also conservative financially. This is not a team that is at a high debt level, by way of example, as relates to other teams in the NFL. So they've managed things very reasonably, very responsibly. Some for Bears fans, it's understandable that some are disappointed in the team's performance, if not all. I would suspect that the McCaskey family are the lead people who are disappointed in that certain things have not been done. The team has not been more successful on the field. That all having been said, they don't need private equity to do the stadium deal. What they need is government participation in a public-private partnership that is reasonable at one of the sites. That's what they need. And once they have that, then there are a series of sources that are available to the Bears, as are available to any team in the NFL. But because this market is so strong, there's more of that's available to the Bears than many other markets.
So we know that the preferred site of a new stadium would be the current site of Soldier Field. They would, it's been kissed by God, as we've learned, and they love the idea of having a stadium there. Kevin Warren, leading the project, said that. The Michael Reese Hospital site has been kind of reintroduced. I don't know how sincere their interest is in that, given their preference, but that seems like a site where the government might play less hardball about what they're willing to give up, et cetera, because of kind of revitalizing a site that was, I think, initially planned for the Olympic Village when that was a possibility. And then we know that the tax issue in Arlington Heights has been resolved to a point. Is that the way to say it? But they at least have figured out that they could go there. What's it going to be if you're picking between those three sites? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I was going to say it's resolved on a temporary basis.
Right.
The long term has not been resolved, but they have agreed to try and work on a resolution with some parameters around it. That's a very positive development for Arlington Heights. The lakefront site, listen, guys, I've been around this town a long, long time. I saw a free $1 billion museum that George Lucas and Melody Hobson offered to give as a gift to Chicago and get turned down because of the lakefront protection ordinance. Hard to imagine that there would be any other conclusion on that site than what happened with the Lucas Museum. It is extraordinarily difficult to overcome that, even if there was unified, cohesive, and determined political support for it, which there is not. So I don't view that I would view that as third on a list list of three.
If that's a non-starter, then wow. Mark, last month, Chris Welch, the Illinois House Speaker, said that there would be aid for a stadium project at the Michael Reese Hospital site because he referenced the nearly $466 million of surplus money from the state, and that seemed to have a little bit momentum. Was that overstated? Do you think that's realistic? Because the plot of land there is narrower than you would want, perhaps, but it is also an opening if you wanted to use public funds for infrastructure.
Yeah, and one of the primary things that would need to be done to that site is actually infrastructure. The rail line would need to be jogged to the east to open up the site so that the rail the trains didn't go right under the stadium. So and that a rail line is exactly infrastructure. So that is, that certainly is a, I think, a possibility to be looked at. And it was very good of Welch to bring that forward as a possibility, whether it could get through or not. Also, don't forget that there is still the hotel motel tax that was passed for the White Sox stadium that then was used for the Soldier Field renovation. Now, I would expect that the city, which has refinanced those bonds a few times, if we recall, and is still have like $400 and some odd million outstanding, may want to use that money to pay off those bonds. But that tax source is still available if they want to use it for that and, you know, of course, for a new White Sox stadium. When all is said and done, a few years ago, the Bears understood, the McCaskey family understood how valuable that Arlington racetrack site could be. And we are now seeing why they felt that way. It is the most certain site. It is almost all cleared now. It has room for additional development that could help offset some of the costs of the stadium. It has infrastructure going to it. It would need some improvements, of course. And in the end, could be the easiest of the sites. And I don't know that there'd be any meaningful reduction in revenue to the stadium if it was out there. A few events might not go there, but in the context of costs and operations, it's margin.
And so, Mark, when we look at that those factors, plus the fact that Kevin Warren has said that they got to have shovels in the ground in 2025, and I know there'll be another pitch in the spring session, but that would seemingly indicate, if you were kind of laying out the favorites here, if the museum campus is now your third favorite, does that mean that this building is going to Arlington Heights in your mind?
Well, that's me saying that.
Yes.
Not any,
oh, I know.
Any inside information about that. And it's because I've been around Chicago for decades.
Right.
And I understand how difficult it is to overcome the lakefront protection ordinance. It's a very difficult thing to overcome. And it was intended that way when it was first issued, so that the lakefront could be clear and open for everyone to use. That was its intent, and it's worked. The lakefront is arguably the greatest asset Chicago has, so it obviously was well thought through. All that having been said, I do not discount the Michael Reese site. It's still in the city, which is important. The picture postcard shots are virtually the same. It is in private hands that want the development there. You don't have the issues related to defeasing the bonds that the city has got. So it and the infrastructure costs that were thought of for the Soldier Field site, and you could even use the existing parking that's at Soldier Field for the stadium. So you don't even need as much parking as you otherwise might for a new site. So I think there is real merit to be looked at the Michael Reese site. And if the decision is to stay in the city and the state and the city are willing to step up and help, that could be a very viable site.
In that context, Mark, how does that relate to any progress or lack thereof with the White Sox in the 78 with related Midwest involved there? It's been a while since we've gotten an update there. Are the two projects connected, aligned in any way, and have the White Sox made any progress?
The Senate president said a year and a half ago, come to us with a single package, teams. Said to the White Sox and the Bears, come to us with a single package. That made sense then, and it makes sense now. So I would expect that there would be something put together. Now, you know, the White Sox have some other issues they're dealing with, as we all know, and I think that's higher on the priority list right now to deal with, and I expect they will deal with them well. That all having been said, I don't think the White Sox will get shut out of a tax source that was passed to keep them in Chicago. So they will be a player in this in any event.
Not to be naive, but what are you referring to? The baseball issues or other issues?
Well, let's say both. Let me not go any further on that, but let's say both.
Hmm. fascinating. I really think if they were to build on the Michael Reese site, that would be a real gain for the city, right? That would be an entire kind of depressed area of the city that would be reworked, revitalized, more jobs, more, you know, I imagine that includes hotels, casinos, the whole nine yards. I mean, that could be one, you know, kind of fascinating project.
That's the vision that needs to be put together and pitched to get the legislators and the community to support it. I do think it is viable. Now, whether it happens or not, whether the infrastructure issues and the rail issues are not able to overcome it, whether it is ultimately too narrow, those are issues yet to be determined. But it is a site that was going to be used for sports activities had Chicago gotten the Olympics, and it is right on the lakefront, and it's very close to downtown. So there's a lot to commend it. Were I Arlington Heights, I would redouble my efforts to negotiate an agreement, because the more time that's given to try and work that site to make it work, the Michael Reese site, the more I think people will find it possible.
So, Mark, before we let you go, just to reiterate, are you expecting the White Sox to not make any progress on their stadium plans, perhaps in the 78, because of other things that might be related to ownership?
No, people can walk and chew gum at the same time. You of course to the extent that the stadium project is and the 78 are top of mind with the legislative in the legislative manner. I don't see that slowing down at all.
Great stuff, Mark. Always very informative. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Mark. Safe travels.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks.
That
Take care.
Is Mark Annis from Sports Corp. Very interesting. So. Yeah, well, we'll have to get back to that a little bit, because your mind is spinning a little bit. Are we talking about, when you ask even about ownership, are you talking about selling the team? Is that what we're talking about?
Well, I think that's the implication.
That is the implication.
I don't want to, I mean, we're not doing anything but connecting the dots,
that's
and you
right.
didn't want to elaborate,
right.
and that's fair and fine. But yeah, I do think that was the implication.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Sure. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. It's really interesting to me to talk about stadium stuff with Mark Gannis. I think he's got so much insight into it. And I liked just the way he kind of broke down the different sites. I think it's really fascinating.
Well, it is, because he clarified a lot of things
yeah.
with the Bears situation and prioritized those needs and talked about Arlington Heights as it compares to Michael Reese in that site and certainly the lakefront. The most intriguing thing he did say, though, for me, was the incomplete thought that he expressed about the White Sox and
right.
what he implied. And it may be something related to this, Mully. A month ago, it was in January, that Sportico reported that Matt and Justin Ishbia,
yes.
billionaires,
yes.
they bought a small stake in the White Sox in 2021, according to multiple people familiar with the details. As the report goes, this was relevant because they would have to sell this their stake in the White Sox before they would pursue ownership in the Twins, which
yep.
they have done. The Ishbia's White Sox stake represents a mid-single-digit percentage of the team, according to Sportico and the people who were granted anonymity because the details are private. And the brothers invested as part of a special purpose vehicle organized by two of Jerry Reinsdorf's adult children, which bought out a number of existing LPs and increased the family's ownership position in the Major League club, according to one of their people. That's Sportico's reporting a month ago.
Right.
Maybe it's related to what's going on with the bigger picture of White Sox ownership, which is complicated, and also the pursuit of a new stadium project in the South Loop at the patch of land known as the 78.
Jerry has always been the chairman of the board, and we knew that he had a lot of investors. And at one point, they did begin to buy out some of the investors that probably were ready to cash, and apparently did so with help from the Ishbia brothers, who own who do they own?
Justin has ties to Chicago. He's a founder and managing
yes.
partner of Shore Capital Partners,
right.
a private
and
equity firm.
He's the one they own.
Oh,
the
yeah, the Suns. Yeah, the Suns.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the NBA. Yeah, sure. Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, Justin lives here, right?
Right.
He just built some mansion on the lakefront, right?
Right. So there's the strong Chicago
yeah.
ties and connection.
Yeah.
Not to suggest anything other than what Sportico has reported, which might have been what you know, when Mark Gatiss was talking about the White Sox and the question about the 78, there was a definite hesitation in his voice.
Yes.
And his tone. So it kind of sets your antenna off a little bit. And especially with all the kind of speculation that's been going on with what's next for the White Sox and what direction they're headed. They have a big project on the field, and certainly it's not a small one off of it.
And I haven't talked to anybody. I don't know what the future plan is. You know, we know that Jerry has given, or it's been reported that he's given the advice that when he shuffles off this mortal coil, they should sell the White Sox, right? Hasn't that been, and hang on to the Bulls maybe, or decide what they want to do with it. But I think his advice was to sell the team. And, you know, Jerry, by all accounts, is as healthy as ever. And, you know, but you do wonder, because as we talked about with Mrs. McCaskey, whenever you're dealing with family ownership, and again, the chairman is the chairman, not the sole owner, but with the McCaskeys, it was Virginia kind of raised her children with the idea that they are responsible for George Halas's legacy, and they were keepers of that legacy, and it wasn't about them kind of cashing in and doing what they wanted to do with what their eventual inheritance would be. So it's like just a different kind of feeling. We don't know what mechanisms are in place
We don't know that with Jerry and the White Sox. Yeah. But as it pertains to the Bears, it was made pretty clear, and I think Mark Gatiss may have reiterated this, and we saw it in the Sun-Times. Her passing did not change their stance and isn't expected to change the fact that they plan to keep the team.
Right.
Even though there will be interested buyers, perhaps. Mm-hmm. You hear Jeff Bezos' name all the time. You hear a lot of other guys or groups speculated, but it doesn't appear to be anything will be different. The status quo will be embraced in the wake of Virginia McCaskey's death.
There is a line in that story from the Sun-Times that I found interesting. They talked to, I believe, attorney Jeffrey Hawkins, who worked with the NFL, and he said something along the lines of when they get the building, they could double the value of the franchise when the building goes up. When if they get a nice, you know, multi-billion-dollar dome, that could make the franchise double in value. Well, it's listed at $6.4 billion by Forbes. Are we saying that the Bears would then be worth 12.8?
That's exactly what he's saying.
I know.
I don't know about his estimates.
It's crazy amount of money.
I don't know if that's an exaggeration, but
right.
He is quoted as saying, quote, if they get a new stadium, the team doubles in value.
Yeah.
$6.4 billion. Now, and I think there's an understanding or maybe an acceptance that the Bears are an underachieving franchise in that regard. They are definitely not maximizing their value as much as they could. Because they're worth $6.4 billion now, and if they were performing at a higher level, what would they be worth? It just boggles the mind.
I mean, you know, here's the thing about stadiums, and you know, the very fact that the Kansas City Chiefs, coming off a repeat Super Bowl, tried to get funding for a stadium and got shot down by the people in Kansas City, tells you there's not much appetite for stadium cost, even with winning teams, right?
But I think those two things are related. It's because the winning teams have this rise in their value of their franchise.
Yes, that's true.
There's the understanding and a reasonable assumption that they should be able to afford their own stadiums. Why would the public be on the hook for a Bears franchise that's doubling in value the minute you put something up?
Well, that's a good point.
So it's incompatible. It doesn't make any sense, even though people will ask. Now, there is a civic responsibility, or you can justify it, as Chris Welch was the House Speaker suggesting. If they want to build at the Michael Reese site, it makes sense for the state to make funds available to build infrastructure in and around that.
Because it does change the city. It changes the
complexion of that area. And it enhances the entire city as a whole. So those are different arguments. I think what you don't see anymore, like you might have seen in the previous 25 years or so, you don't see the public being willing to go on the hook
No.
Like they did at Soldier Field.
No, no one
which are still
that.
Paying off.
Which and they're going to be for a long time. So, yeah, it's crazy. It
all right,
really
so
is.
Speaking of the future, this is fascinating. We'll continue to talk about this.
I love this stuff. I do.
It is. In the NFL, there's other stuff going on talking about the future. There's a report from Adam Schefter this morning that the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Jacksonville Jaguars are discussing a trade for Trevor Lawrence.
That's wild. What would that consist of? I'm just saying.
A first and a second? It seems like it's a report that is citing a Jacksonville reporter, but it is something that with the future of the Jaguars now, they're going through a lot of change. They're going to hire a new general manager.
Yep.
They have hired a new coach in Liam Cohen.
Liam Cohen.
And they have elevated Tony Boselli from the broadcast booth to the director of football operations or whatever his title is. But you look at that, and maybe they're signaling the start of a new era by wanting to unload a guy whose contract is an albatross. And Trevor Lawrence has been kind of meh as a franchise quarterback there.
So are you reading that as them changing their the expenditures that you want to get out of the way of that contract and they don't feel like he's lived up to it? Or are you reading that as the possibility of them eventually relocating that franchise? Because Jacksonville is not – Shad Khan, who owns the team – also owns Wembley Stadium in London. There have been long rumors about them.
Unclear.
Because they play there every year. Would they move to London?
Boy, I don't know.
I don't know how you would pull that off because the problem, air travel has not changed much since the NFL's been around. It's not like you can figure out a way to shoot someone into space and get there quicker. You got the same problems from a time period issue that you do when you're playing overseas and you got
I don't know where that stands. They got a lot of work to do before they get to that point.
I'm just wondering if you think that means that there could be
I don't know
leaving Jacksonville.
No, I don't think think that's related.
All right.
Schefter's citing Ryan Burr, who is a local reporter and also has some more information on his Twitter feed, is how that the Steelers are inquiring about Lawrence. Because they
They need a quarterback.
They probably need a long-term answer quarterback that is better than Justin Fields or Russell Wilson, and so that who are both free agents. So they're looking into that possibility. It's just a report at this point, and the Jaguars, before they consider all these big picture things, have to hire a general manager.
I wonder if that opens up another possibility for Aaron Rodgers. And I was joking when I said that. But the one team that kind of made sense with him, what makes sense with him is kind of retirement, but it doesn't seem like he's that anxious to get to retirement. So the one team that made sense was the Steelers because they had this sort of disciplined coach. They had other things going on that made you feel like it wouldn't just be turning the franchise over to Aaron Rodgers, which I think is what went awry in New York.
Tennessee makes sense because of
needing
Ryan Callahan. They need a quarterback. I think that there are some people that, as the offseason gets going here, might look at San Francisco and wonder about the future of Brock Purdy there and his price, even though they've committed – verbally to him, I don't think they've signed a new contract yet, and he's going to be expensive. You just wonder about, these ideas and these athletes like Aaron Rodgers and Travis Kelce, who I only lumping them together only because they seem to really enjoy the attention. And they're dragging out these retirement decisions, and I think you're going to see that happen with Kelce, who we have to pay attention to because what he does could affect the Bears' free agent plans and whether or not they're able to be in on Trey Smith, because the Chiefs will have a different situation if they go into free agency without having to pay Travis Kelce. So Travis Kelce will make a decision, you would think, before the league year starts, free agency begins, and that's in about a month. So we've got another month for him to kind of mull it over.
I actually don't have I don't have any problem with him mulling it over. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's different with a guy who's had the kind of success he's had versus a guy like Rodgers that kind of wants to recreate something that has yet to really be created. I mean, he's trying to figure out a way of getting the friends and family program going with Kelsey. He knows exactly what he's looking at. I think, you know, the other element is, as we've talked about, he's slowing down, physically slowing down, and he's incapable of doing some of the things that he did when he was a younger man. And at the age of 35, with the difficulty of the length of the season, and for him, it's even been longer than that. I think that stuff kind of gangs up on you quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. It does. He's has every right to take as much time as he needs and walk away if he chooses. He did not have a great year. He did not have a great
year. No, he wasn't very good this year.
No, by his standards.
That's exactly
standards, by Cole Kmet standards, he had a very good year. By Travis Kelce standards, he did not.
Did you see also the St. Brown Brothers podcast came out? And your guy, Amon-Ra St. Brown, the wide receiver for Detroit, he was pretty – he basically said that he wants the Lions to do – well, let's take a listen.
Eagles have the home opener next year because they won the Super Bowl.
You don't want the smoke.
There's – can I read you the list of teams that could potentially be in that first game? Commanders.
Okay.
Cowboys, Giants, Bears, Lions, Raiders, Rams, Broncos. Out of all those teams, what – like if you're the NFL, who are you putting in there?
Lions.
Lions or Commanders.
That's what I'm saying. Easy. So we might be playing week one.
Did you play
at Lincoln Financial Field?
That's 2 years ago. You played week one.
Right. Yeah.
2 years ago?
Spoiled that game for them.
Yeah.
They probably take the Lions, honestly, I feel like.
They have to. They don't. I mean, or Commanders. But really, Lions. Like, and you can really see what would have happened in the NFC Championship. Not really, but like.
Yeah, with a healthy defense.
Yeah.
Their team's not going to change much. I mean, it might change a little, but.
But your team wasn't healthy. That's the thing. That's part of the game. Like, you need.
But I'm saying, you would see what like our healthy defense, how that operates.
I mean, how many injuries did you guys really have? Let's be honest.
Like 13 on defense.
Yeah.
Starters?
They had
yes.
A lot. Oh, you didn't. Really?
Yes.
So he's saying that they're better than the Eagles, but their defense got hurt.
Yeah. What do you expect? Of course he's going to say that.
I just love that.
Yeah,
I
mean, of course he's going to say that.
That's a huge diss.
Yeah. It doesn't. I mean, I'm sure the Eagles are not offended or bothered or even
no,
noticed.
No, they won.
They won the Super Bowl.
They're laughing.
Yeah. I would expect him to be that chesty. That's the Detroit confidence. That's a swagger that they have. I still think it'll be that game is too good of a game to put in the opener. That game
you'll get a huge crowd for that game no matter where you put
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why I think
about television audience.
Yeah, television audience. It's all about the TV audience. And the Commanders, that's a divisional game. That would be tough. And as we talked yesterday, I have a hard time seeing that early on. I still think the Bears make sense. It would be from a TV standpoint because of that. You have a matchup that, you know, could be compelling during the year, but the Bears also might be 4-9 by the time they play it.
Right,
You play it at the beginning, the Bears will never be more popular next year than on the eve of the NFL season.
You don't have to convince me. You got to convince Amon-Ra. Let's get him on. We'll tell him what's what. All right, we got Dan and Marshall. We'll talk to them next, unless Dan wants to just talk.
We can tell him that the USA plays Finland tonight at 7 o'clock on the Four Letter Network, and you want some real good hockey. And if it's as riveting as last night's game was, it will be a treat. And I might even do some play-by-play.
That you know what? Why don't you do that on the group text? We can make it a nice
I'll
little,
send you a voice memo.
Yeah, there you go. That's easy enough. All right. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 the score.
Marner looks tired. Oh, he looks tired. Oh, he's got the puck. Oh, my gosh. Here he goes. Oh, he scored. Oh, he won.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.